Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is F1 Explains. This is the official Formula One podcast that answers your questions on the sport and, in a shock turn of events given its title, explains stuff. I'm Christian Hugill, and while the F1 world has a well-deserved weekend off after a busy couple of races post-summer break, F1 Explains has the perfect remedy to ease those weekend off blues. You're welcome, Formula One community. I am talking to you from the F1 paddock, and I am opposite a table football table. And I don't fully know why, but we're recording this last weekend in Italy. Loads of table football tables around. I didn't know this was a thing in Italy, or as I believe they call them in the United States of America, foosball, which I had to Google. Anyway, perhaps more importantly for this week's episode, I'm also opposite Sauber. We are here for one of our Ask a Team Principal episodes. Most of you will know by now that this podcast lives off your questions. You send them to f1explains@f1.com via email. We find the best people in the paddock to answer them. And when we get a TP, we mop up all the questions that come into our inbox that only a boss can answer. And this week, it is Sauber's relatively new boss, Jonathan Wheatley. Now, he only started as a team principal this year, but this isn't a bad CV, right? Listen to this. Having won world championships with Michael Schumacher at Benetton, Fernando Alonso at Renault, and Max Verstappen at Red Bull, he is one of the most experienced people in the paddock, and he very much knows what it takes to be successful. He is just who Sauber need. He's working alongside the former Ferrari boss, Matteo Binotto, and he's guiding the Swiss team through their transition into becoming Audi next year. It's very exciting for the sport to have Audi taking over, and a big old job for Jonathan, which, as you will hear in this chat, he is very much enjoying. Just one thing to mention, bit of any other business before we talk to Jonathan. We recorded this before Nico Hülkenberg's podium at Silverstone. So there's a bit in it when we're talking about how well his drivers are doing. And when he says how well Nico's doing, you might think, bit odd he didn't mention the podium. But in his defence, that hadn't happened yet. So I think we can forgive him. Anyway, enough of me waffling on. This is F1 Explains, Ask a Team Principal. Enjoy. Jonathan, welcome to F1 Explains. It's lovely to meet you. First time we've met, so thank you for having us at Sauber.
No, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, still a fairly new role for you as a team principal. So I guess the first question has got to be, how much are you enjoying it? How are you finding it?
I think I'm completely re-energized, reinvigorated. I'm absolutely loving the challenge. And it's great to be part of an organization with so much enthusiasm for doing better, for trying to do better, and being able to, I don't know, add my contribution to that.
You were at Red Bull for sort of 18 years or so as sporting director. Obviously, a different role, but also a different place. I'm guessing when you spend so long with one organisation, change must be something to get used to, not just a change of job, but also a change of surroundings. How have you found that?
Well, I've always been very open to change. Maybe too open, some people might say, but I enjoy it. I enjoy the process of change. I think, you know, it's a constant, it's natural, it's entirely normal, and I'm very comfortable with it. I think that's one of the things that I've felt here, is that being comfortable with change for me, I need to somehow or other get the organisation to get comfortable with change and to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because that's where all the opportunity is. And yeah, it's a very big change. It is a different country. It's a different way of life. But honestly, I'm loving every second of it at the moment.
That's really great. And what's been your favourite part of the role so far? I'm aware it's early days, of course.
I think it is the ability to shape this team and to help transform it into what it needs to become with Audi Formula One project next year. You know, the excitement I still feel about being at the very early stages of this is incredible. And I feel, I think I said just now, completely reinvigorated at the prospect of being able to make my contribution here.
It's an exciting project. We'll talk a bit more about the Audi project a little bit later on. I want to get on to one of our first listeners' questions. F1 explains at F1.com is the place to send them. This one comes in from Izzy. And Izzy asks, is there anything in particular that you have to do in your job that would surprise people?
Oh, quite possibly, I suppose, especially when it comes to man management or, you know, managing people. You'd be amazed at the situation some people can get themselves into. I think there's so many aspects of the business that it might come as a surprise to know just how much you're involved in as team principal. I don't think there's been many surprises for me in terms of things I didn't expect to be part of my daily workload. But if you look at the operation when you come to the circuit, you've got a huge marketing operation, a huge communications machine as well in the background. And then if you think about it, there's also the small matter of fielding two racing cars with the right strategies.
Don't forget that bit. That's quite important.
Exactly.
Famously, yeah.
So all of that, bringing it all together towards a race event, is one of the most exciting things that I've done.
Have you had to get used to any of the sort of more media focusing, even doing stuff like this, people like me bothering you with podcasts on a race weekend?
Well, firstly, you're not bothering me.
That's good.
It's very, very nice, and it's a privilege to be sat here with you.
Thank you very much.
But I have kept a very low profile over the 34 years that I've been in Formula One. So, yeah, this is a new aspect for me. But look, I sat there in my office, had to make a decision about whether I continue ticking down the days, you know, and having a nice little soft landing into retirement at my old place of work, or getting out of my comfort zone in so many different areas and starting a new job and moving country and doing media interviews.
Doing podcasts.
and it's exciting and it's interesting, and I'm actually enjoying it a lot more than I thought I would.
Would there be any particular part of the role that you'd summarise as this is the biggest challenge of it, in your experience of it so far? This is the biggest challenge of being a team principal.
I think I can talk about being a team principal here at Sauber at the moment. And the biggest challenge here is not the lack of enthusiasm, because there's a huge amount of enthusiasm in the business. It is guiding it, directing it, changing the culture from being a team that turns up and participates to being a team that has a winning mentality, that puts the business first, puts the company and the team before their own individual needs and requirements and wishes, you know, and that's the journey we're on here at the moment. And it's exciting, it's invigorating, and it's keeping me very, very busy.
I can imagine it is. Shane in Canada is one of our listeners. We've touched upon this, Jonathan, but Shane said, what's been the hardest thing about switching to a new team?
I think there are a number of things that you can do in life that are quite stressful. One of them is changing job. One of them is changing country, you know, and I've done both of that.
I thought you were going to say moving house, but I imagine moving house / moving country. Just before we go on, I'm really sorry, I'm going to have to mention this, because do we know what that is? We're recording this interview in Canada. I've never heard this in Canada before.
I think that's a pit entry siren. So that is warning that cars are driving into the pit lane.
This is why we ask the experts on F1 Explains. We always say at the top of our episodes, you send us your questions, we find the best people to answer them. If you can hear that in the background of this interview, that is what that is. Jonathan, thank you. I'll go back to the schedule question from Shane in Canada. Apologies. You were saying it's not just moving house, moving country.
Yeah, it's moving country, and, you know, I've got three boys. My wife and I and the dog moved to Switzerland in March. The three boys are still in the UK. Managing that has been interesting, let's say. But honestly, I think I was so up for this challenge, and the family supported me in it, that I haven't come across anything that I hadn't expected.
What dog have you got?
We've got a little pug called Lola.
Oh.
She's 11 now, and as we're talking, she's having some teeth removed.
Oh, well, we wish Lola all the best for having her teeth removed. Has she coped with the move okay? Is she happy?
She's getting more... All our furniture was moved in last week.
Good.
So I think there's a few more smells around the apartment now. So she's a little bit more settled now.
That's absolutely adorable. You, as we said earlier, were at Red Bull, where you were a sporting director. You're now a team principal. For those who are maybe a little bit newer to F1, explain the sort of details or the difference in the details between those two roles.
Well, a sporting director in a Formula One team has a vital role to play. I mean, more or less runs the race weekend. has to be an expert in all sorts of areas, from the regulations to pit stops to the team operation, right down to the very last details. And as a team principal, you kind of need to take a step back from that, and you realise that you need a team of highly talented people around you who are experts, and you can add your value to all of it, but you're no longer able to become an absolute expert in every single area that you manage, because it's just too big. A team's too big to get across that level of detail now.
Hannah says, thank you for this question, Hannah. How have you learned not to helicopter manage everything as a team principal? Firstly, Hannah, I've never heard that term, helicopter manage, but I really enjoy it. Imagine, is it difficult to, and I don't mean this with any disrespect to anyone in any team, but is it difficult to trust people? You mentioned at the start of the interview, you're having to, you know, look across so many different roles. And I love Hannah's term of helicopter manage. Do you have to get used to, as a new team principal, going, okay, you look after that while I move on to focus another thing? There must be so many different things that require your attention.
Well, interestingly, we're speaking now, I think I'm 10 weeks into the job, and this is the ninth race or something like that. So it's been an incredibly intense period of time. And we talk about trust. Trust is, you know, this job is all about managing people, understanding people, walking a mile in their shoes, trying to help guide them to the next level, see what they're capable of, put the right people in the right roles. I openly trust everyone. I have a completely open mind when it comes to people. I try to understand what motivates them, what they're good at, whether the role they're in actually suits what they're doing. I think what I have a problem with is when my trust is broken. So if I trust somebody, and then for some reason, maybe an action or something that they've done, that takes a bit of a while to get over for me, because I like to believe that everybody is open, honest, and cares about the team. And that's how I treat people.
Absolutely.
And the helicopter, I should address the helicopter role, which is a term of management where you're above and looking down on everything that's happening.
See, I got that wrong. I was picturing more of a propeller and scattering across, but yes, looking down on everything, that makes more sense. You can tell I've never been a manager. You can tell I just talk for a living. Pip asks, is there one thing you want to take from your time at Red Bull to implement with Sauber? I mean, I'm guessing winning world championships would be one of those good things,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Winning races, world championship, yeah. Positions, yeah. No, creating that same winning environment, creating an environment where people believe in themselves, believe in the team, that they're capable of, well, what they're capable of, because a group of people in a Formula One team that are highly motivated is the most exciting thing to be a part of. And making people believe, making them understand what they're capable of, if they walk a mile in everyone else's shoes, understand everyone else's problems, and just work towards the same goal. I can't tell you how exciting it is to work in an organisation that's on that trajectory.
You've also got to work, famously as a team principal, with Formula One drivers. We will talk a little bit more about those in a couple of moments on F1 Explains. Welcome back to F1 Explains. It is one of our Ask a Team Principal episodes, and we are here with the team principal of Sauber, Jonathan Wheatley. We are recording this episode in Canada, where alongside me and Jonathan is a particularly prominent horn at the end of the pit lane, which we didn't realise would be a third guest on this week's F1 Explains. Jonathan, we'll talk a little bit about drivers, shall we? And you've worked with some of the sport's biggest names. You've won titles with the likes of Michael Schumacher, Fernando Alonso, Sebastian Vettel, Max Verstappen, and this year you're working with what I'd like to describe as a classic Formula One driver lineup, the experienced head and the rookie, with Nico Hülkenberg and Gabriel Bortoleto. Firstly, again, maybe for anyone a little bit newer to Formula One, what are you responsible with in terms of the drivers when it comes to being a team principal?
Well, basically, you're the employer. You employ the drivers. I was fully across and understood the driver decisions that went in here before I came to join, and I'm very excited about our driver lineup, I have to say, and especially because I've seen it in action over the last 8 or 9 races. As you say, Nico brings a tremendous amount of experience. I think an underrated driver, hugely talented driver, very fast. But also the stability and the if you like, the way that he's helping gently guide Gabriel on his way as well. You know, it's a tremendous year for Formula One. A lot of young drivers in the business in one year. Gabriel's a fantastic talent, a real... I can't describe his work ethic it's incredible, you know, and he's in the factory every opportunity he can, in the simulator. He and Nico have a great relationship and they're building off of each other. And look, my job is to make sure that we're open and honest in all our dealings with the drivers and we give them everything they need to do their job properly.
I sometimes talk to the drivers in what we call in Formula One the media pen after they've finished a session. I always really enjoy talking to Nico. I always feel a real sense of calmness and intelligence from him, a sort of analytical approach from him. That must be really good, particularly for a new team principal coming into Formula One, into a Formula One team with a driver like Nico, as you say, with that experience, sort of having a trusted lieutenant, I guess, almost.
I mean, it was great looking into his eyes and shaking his hand just before the start of the race in Barcelona, because we're filming it just after that, to see that determination and that drive that he delivered was world class.
It really was.
But quietly, Gabriel was doing a similar job, but just maybe not grabbing the headlines, you know, putting in a tremendous race as well. So I came away from Barcelona thinking that everyone had done a tremendous job, you know, both drivers, the team, pit crew. And it's a fantastic sort of stepping stone to gain momentum and where we find ourselves here now in Canada.
As you say, you earlier mentioned that you come into the team and, you know, you understand decisions that are made before you come into a team. How do you go about building a relationship with a new driver as a team principal? Again, I guess it's something you observed happen at Red Bull, for example, when they brought in, I don't know, Sergio Perez, who came from externally, you know. How do you go about building that relationship as a team principal with your drivers?
I think I do the same with everyone. Drivers, everyone in the team, I treat the same way, which is honest, open, try to help them wherever I can help them, and when they need keeping in their lane because they're straying from it a little bit.
Or racing drivers do occasionally.
Well, you know, what they do is incredible, and I think you get used to seeing the cars going around the track and you don't realise just what they're doing, and the level of physical and mental commitment that takes is incredible. And trying to help the driver through that process, working with Gabby, trying to help him get his mindset right at certain times, and certainly what to say and what not to say on the radio as well.
Excellent. Actually, maybe that's part of my next question, because I was going to ask, as a boss, do you have to change the way you deal with a driver for someone who is far newer, like Gabby, to someone who's been around a lot longer, like Nico? Does the role change a little bit in terms of driver relations from the two different drivers?
Well, you get to know the person.
Of course.
And of course, your relationship is based around that person, what that person needs to in terms of support to do their job properly. And also, when you're working with a younger driver, you're probably helping guide them a little bit more in terms of the day-to-day. How would you deal with this situation? Have you thought about that situation? Try to get them prepared as well as they can for some of the things they're going to come across in the next couple of years, you know. It's an incredibly intense job to drive a Formula One car, and preparing the driver as well as you can for that is part and parcel of being a team principal.
Does that become more difficult or easier when you're new to the team as well?
I mean, I know I'm new to the team, I know I'm new to the role, but a team principal role is different at all the teams.
Sure.
A sporting director role is different at all the teams. It hasn't been such a huge change for me to come here. I've known Nico for a long time, you know, through driver's briefings and chats in the pit lane and
it's
what have you.
It's a small paddock in many ways,
yeah,
isn't
so
it?
So I already had a good relationship with him coming into it. And with Gabriel, we're getting on just brilliantly, I have to say. He's a little bit too cheeky at the moment, so some point I'm going to have a word with him about that.
That's the exclusive, everyone. That's the exclusive. Listen, behave yourself, Gabriel. Wonderful work. Now, the thing I've been most excited to talk to you about, I'm a Formula One fan. I'm very excited for 2026. We've got new rules and regulations, which we're talking about a lot on F1 Explains. But also, you know, Sauber is transitioning, is moving into Audi. And I can't remember a time in recent memory in F1 where we've had something this exciting, a big internationally renowned car manufacturer coming into Formula One. It's really exciting. And in an era where Formula One is tweaking and changing its rules as well, how does all of that affect you as a team principal, in particular with managing this season and then managing that big transition in so many ways into next season?
It's why I'm sat here. And it feels to me like everything that I've done in my career has led me to this point. I can't tell you how excited I was to get this opportunity, to be offered this opportunity. Audi for me, you know, I'm a car guy. I can remember these Audi Quattros smashing through forests with flames coming out of the exhaust. You know, the Trans Am cars, the IMSA cars, these incredible, these monsters that Audi created. And they've won at every form of motorsport that they've been a part of. And this opportunity, I mean, it's an amazing brand, you know. It's an amazing good news story for Formula One.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, here at Sauber, it's an amazing good news story for everyone here. And, look, it's an opportunity. And it's an opportunity like this. You grab it with both hands. You know? And that's why I'm sat here. That's why I live in Switzerland now. And that's why I'm so hugely motivated about this job.
How big is the transition? When any team goes through a transition from to a new era, that's one thing, but in particular with the new rules, for again those maybe newer to Formula One, just try and explain, you know, what a big job it is.
So one of the things that immediately interested me about this opportunity was that there's too much to have a conventional team principal role where the team principal's in charge of the entire business. It's too much to do. 24 races, to be at every race, and to bring together chassis and powertrain. You know, we're going from being a small team based in Switzerland to becoming a works Formula One team, manufacturing its own power unit. And to bring together chassis and powertrain and to go and run racing and commercially make sure the money's there to do all of that as well, it's too much for just one person. So what interested me the most was working with somebody that I have a huge amount of respect for, in Mattia Binotto. And the way that our roles overlap, it's been fantastic. We support each other. We share the same vision for what we've got to do going future. And we can split the workload, which, of course, is vital if we're going to get where we need to get in such a short period of time.
And Mattia Binotto, we should explain, is the former Ferrari team principal, extremely well-respected figure in the sport. I'm imagining not just helpful to have his experience as a former team principal, but also his sheer experience up and down the grid in motorsport. You know, somebody you'd want on your side.
Yeah, I've known Mattia for a really long time. We get on brilliantly, and I'm really, really enjoying the working process with him.
Thank you to Richard, who's emailed f1explains@f1.com to ask some questions about this. Richard says, what will Audi bring to Formula One?
Audi's going to bring with it one of the most prestigious car brands in the world. It's going to bring with it huge investment into the sport. It's a fantastically good news story for Formula One. It's a great news story for Audi, and it's an even better story for everyone in Neuburg and in Hinwil, because we're going to become a works team. Not just any team, we're going to become the works Audi Formula One team.
It's very cool, Formula One. As a Formula One fan, I'm really excited for it. Richard's second question on this is, how are you transforming a team that at the moment is lower down the grid into one capable of meeting the expectations of a huge manufacturer like Audi? I'm guessing, Jonathan, you know, all those things you were saying there about Audi's, you know, history, and Audi's such a massive brand. You know, they're going to come in and want to win, aren't they?
Absolutely, and none of us are here to mess around.
No.
And it's a process. You know, that's why nobody's saying you're going to be winning championships in 2 years' time. You know, we know where we're starting from. We know the ambition in our project. I think we're very humble about it. We're not underestimating the task we have ahead of us, but we know how to do it. You know, Mattia and I have been working in championship-winning Formula One teams our entire life. We know what good looks like, and we know how to get people on the journey, and that's what we're doing.
You've actually sort of preempted our next listener question from Scott. Thanks for this, Scott.
He said, sorry, Scott.
Scott will be happy, I'm sure. Scott says, can you see much progress happening in the first year at Audi from the position the team are in now? I'm guessing you've sort of touched upon that there, Jonathan, that it's going to be an evolution process over a number of years.
It is going to be an evolution, but you will see a big bang change at the beginning of next year in terms of our trackside infrastructure, how we present ourselves. We will look unmistakably like an Audi Formula One team. We will be setting new standards in that area, and I'm very, very excited about when we open the garage door for the first time in 2026.
And on that front, Daniel, thank you for Daniel. Daniel sent this on Instagram. He said, is the factory in Switzerland staying, or are all operations being moved to Germany?
No, there's a very clear demarcation. Chassis is entirely going to be built manufactured, designed in Hinwil in Switzerland, and the power unit is designed, built and manufactured in Neuburg in Germany. We bring them both together in the factory in Switzerland. That's where the cars are built and that's where we go racing from.
Even that sounds incredibly exciting. Oh, what a cool thing to say. It's brilliant. Just before we let you go, Jonathan, I've got some gossip from our listeners, if that's okay with you. Now, Zach Brown told us, we did an F1 Explains live show in Melbourne. Zach Brown told us that there is a team principal WhatsApp group. We add loads of these to F1 Explains at F1.com. Did you get added to it? Are you added to the team principal WhatsApp group?
No, they've left me out of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe Zach, come on. Are you not in it yet?
No, I'm not in it yet. Right, haven't reached those giddy heights just
right,
yet.
Right, they need to sort that out. He did say, Zach did say, that they're rubbish at updating it and it's not as active as the driver's one, so that will make...
It's probably still got Ron Dennis on it.
Excellent. Ross Brawn's still in there. They're all still in. Now, F1 President and CEO Stefano Domenicali held his annual team principals dinner at this year's Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix. I'm told reliably you were sat next to Stefano, the big boss, and Zach Brown. So my question to you is, I'm guessing that's the first time you'd attended that dinner. What's that like? And is it all strictly work chats? Can there be a bit of other chat around that as well? That dinner fascinates me. What a fascinating group of people in one room.
Well, it's I've known these people for a very, very long time. Zach's a friend. Stefano I've worked with when we were both sporting directors back in the early days. I know all the team principals really well, and we're all human beings. It's great to just get together and talk. It's not all business. In fact, very small part of it's business. Most of it is just how you're getting on, talking about your families.
Well,
you know,
nice.
With Zach, it's whatever car he's bought next, you know, and he's going racing with. And just trying to get myself in that WhatsApp group.
Yeah, that's what's got to be the aim. Finally, Jonathan, you've already achieved so much in Formula One. I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's the aim? What's the aim for this next chapter?
Success. To replicate the success that I've had before, to play my part in the incredible vision that Audi have in terms of running their own Formula One team, and to be on that journey. I mean, it's an extraordinary opportunity. I'm humbled to be sat here in this role, but I'm going to give it every single bit of energy that I've got, and I have a lot of energy, to make this a success.
This has been absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Our listeners will really appreciate it. They really enjoy hearing from team principals. And as you say, it's such an exciting thing with Audi. So the very best of luck for it. And most importantly, best of luck with controlling Gabriel Bortoleto's cheekiness. That for me is the standout from this interview, that he can be, you know, he needs that reining in, and that's going to be the job for you as team principal.
Maybe there's other ways of doing that, but no, look, we have a great relationship, and I enjoy his cheekiness.
I've enjoyed that. Jonathan, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
That was Jonathan Wheatley on F1 Explained, Ask a Team Principal. I really enjoyed that. As I said at the top of the chat, I had never spoken to Jonathan before that. I just found him really interesting, really engaging. You can see why people enjoy working with him. His enthusiasm for the sport shines through. And we mentioned at the start of the episode, you know, he's been in the sport since the early 90s, decades of experience, so well respected, so well liked. And the fact he's still got that burning enthusiasm to take on another project. I thought it was really interesting where he said, you know, I was considering retirement at one point, considering a sort of easy route into retirement, and no one would have blamed him considering how much he's achieved. And yet he's got the energy to take on this absolutely massive challenge in bringing Sauber through to Audi. And listen, how well is it going? Because it wasn't too long ago that Sauber were the team in F1 that were, let's be honest, really struggling. And we mentioned earlier, Nico's at the podium at Silverstone. Gabriel Bortoleto is having a fantastic rookie season. So many strong points finishes for him. It seems to be going really well, and a really exciting time in this sport's history as F1 says goodbye to one of its famous names, Sauber, with a bit of emotion. You know, F1 will miss having Sauber in the sport, but at the same time is so grateful for this exciting new world that is Audi coming through. Really great speech, Jonathan. Thank you to him and the team at Sauber. Right, Formula One is Baku. After our week off next weekend in Azerbaijan. See what I did there? It's extremely funny. And we have a returning legend to F1 Explains next week. Firm favourite of the podcast. It is a quickfire special with Queen Dame Bernie Collins. That is a title I've just given her. Former Aston Martin strategist, Sky Sports pundit, and one of the nicest people in F1. And oh, speaking of Gabriel Bortoleto, there he is, walking back into the Sauber motorhome, looking very well tanned. Someone got some sun over the summer break. And breaking news on F1 Explains, he's just tripped over a fan. But I'm delighted to report they've had a handshake, had a laugh, and now Gabriel is talking to that fan. Contact, yellow flags out in the paddock for Gabriel Bortoleto. Now having a lovely chat to the fan. Drama, producer Jamie, wasn't it? Wasn't that?
Oh, I've never seen anything like it.
Never seen anything like it. Anyway, Bernie's on next week, which we're delighted with. You guys loved Bernie last year when she was on the podcast. She's a proper favourite of our listeners, so I know you guys will love that. And speaking of Baku, our other official F1 Nation, our other official F1 podcast, rather, F1 Nation, easy for me to say, will preview and debrief the race. And also check out this week's Beyond the Grid, our extended interview podcast with Tom Clarkson, where this week's guest is none other than Gabriel Bortoleto, who, again, probably won't mention the drama here in Italy because the chat's already been recorded where we've seen his paddock contact. I'm sure he's recovered. I'm sure he's fine. Sauber fans, what a treat for you. Hashtag Sauber special this week on the official Formula One podcast. Right, we have new episodes every Friday. Please don't forget to hit like and subscribe and tell your friends about this podcast. And until next Friday on F1 Explains, we'll say goodbye. See you then. Bye for now.